Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, a World Cup recap. We'll take a look back at Team USA's run and how we see them going moving forward in the next World Cup. It was a crazy weekend of NFL, some huge shifts in the futures market. We will tell you where we think the best value is now and if there's any of those that you should be firing on. And we're going to preview Monday Night Football between the Bucks and the Saints. And of course, you know it, you got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, we'll welcome in Mr. Monday, Danny Brasco. Danny, fun weekend with the Caesars crew today in Baltimore, huh?
Fantastic weekend out there in Baltimore. I was hanging with Jonathan Ogden, Ravens Hall of Famer, Joe Smith, former number one overall pick, and meeting the good people of Baltimore, giving them some winning angles. I'm 2-0 in the Caesars betting truck. So, you know, good juju over here on this side. Let's keep it rolling, Katie. Let's go.
Let's keep it rolling, and let's roll right into Mox Thought. So the second youngest team to participate in the World Cup did not concede a match during the group stages. However, Team USA just couldn't continue the streak and fell short of their World Cup dreams, losing 3-1 to the Dutch. So one, you know, I know you're not a big soccer guy. I'm not a big soccer girl. However, Team USA till I die. One, how did you think that they did? And, you know, in looking at how this team did and how young they are, what's something you're kind of thinking about for 2026? Do you think that, you know, we stand a better chance?
Yeah, obviously, I know I did my research and I spoke to my soccer experts to be able to come up with an informed opinion here. And from a betting perspective, I can tell you right away, I knew that they were going to lose that match to the Netherlands because of how the game against Iran went. 90% of the handle was on the U.S. Massive public win there, right? And the books come back and offer you plus 350 against the Netherlands. You know, every American was salivating to bet that. And the books get their crack back with another 90% on the handle, right? Like, that's just how it works. Vegas doesn't lose like that twice in a row. So I knew that was going to go down. And look, a lot of people are saying, you know, in terms of the style of play, young, scrappy team full of heart. But, you know, my friends who used to play pro soccer call it sloppy, call it out of position. And so with all the heart and effort and energy, there was, you know, some mismanagement of tactics and coaching perhaps. And, you know, their youth showed. So hopefully get, you know, more developed in 2026. And I'll let you know who I'm betting based on the lines more than the actual gameplay.
All right, now let's move on to the NFL. It was quite the weekend, Danny. Joe Burrow became the first quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes three times in a row. Jimmy G is out for the season with a broken foot. I am despondent over this. Aaron Rodgers, despite his losing season, he still owns the Chicago Bears. They can't seem to beat him. Lamar Jackson also suffered a knee injury, but doesn't appear to be season ending. The Commanders tied the Giants as if the NFC East needs to be any more interesting or tight. And then the Chiefs and the Dolphins both lost. So the Bills are now leading the AFC again, which was kind of a crazy shift. A lot happened, Danny, and the futures market has shifted quite a bit. So let's take a look at some of the biggest odds movements, if you will, and weigh in on what we're thinking. So let me just pull this up on Caesars really quick. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? So the Chiefs were leading last week, and now they are no longer leading, which is pretty crazy because they lost to the Bengals for like a third time. So you've got the Bills, Super Bowl winner plus 400, conference winner plus 190, 450 to win the division. Obviously, nobody's taking that. The Chiefs now slipped into second at plus 450. They're 220 to win the conference. The Eagles have the best record in the NFL, but for some reason, they're still just the third odds favorite at plus 500. Oh, and a plus 200 conference winner, minus 430 to win their division. Cowboys coming off a big win last night. I mean, how big was it, I guess, because it was against the Colts, but plus 700. They have now moved in front of the 49ers. The 49ers now dropped from plus 450 to plus 900. It's plus 1100 in some other books for them to win the Super Bowl, plus 380 now to win the conference, minus 400 to win the division. Obviously, the NFC West is, you know, not that crazy. And then the Bengals. The Bengals are now kind of in the mix at plus 1,200 to win the Super Bowl. Looking at all of this and what happened this weekend, Danny, what are you thinking about the futures market? Is there anything exactly that you're going to be firing on? Or is there any of these dips where you're like, maybe it's a good time to buy low? Like, what do you think?
This is tough, and you're right. There's a lot of movers and shakers. The Bills were the odds-on favorite to start the season, and it's not going to take a rocket scientist to make that pick. And that was my call at the beginning of the year. We've had a lot of reasons to distrust them since then. They've showed their colors a little bit and some weaknesses, but that happens to every team throughout a season. So we're wondering who's the most cohesive and dangerous unit when it comes playoff time. Odds makers still don't feel that's the Eagles. Still, putting them third with the best record in the NFL. So that's telling. I think the strength of schedule has been weaker, even though they have a great performance against the Titans. I think maybe odds makers are pricing in that they've beaten up on the weaker teams, if that makes sense, you know? And then your Niners with Brock Purdy. I mean, they were powerhouse. They added McCaffrey. I mean, who's going to stop that electric offense? And now they don't really have a quarterback that we can trust or know even too much about. So honestly, of all the odds you threw out there, I'm most interested in plus 1200 on the Bengals. After beating Mahomes for a third time, Jamar Chase is healthy again. They were in the Super Bowl last year. I feel like they've had a sneaky, quietly good season, like very under the radar. They're right there. And even with some bumps and bruises in the beginning, I think they get hot at the right time. They could be in the mix. So plus 1200, that's attractive to me.
I would agree with you. When I look at these, you know, who can sneaky get in there? It's going to be the Bengals plus 600, you know, to win the conference even, which of course we know that they did last year and they beat the Chiefs. So let's say there's another rematch, right, in the conference between the Chiefs and the Bengals. Well, it's hard not to want to take the Bengals on that one, considering they seem to have Patrick Mahomes' number. So Katie, I think that one's good.
Katie, I saw the division is plus 120 for them to win the division. They're tied with the Ravens right now, who are minus 140. Lamar Jackson goes down. Tyler Huntley is going to be their quarterback for a bit. I'm thinking to myself, why are they plus money? Well, the Ravens got them earlier and the Bengals have a 1-3 record in division. So if it came down to a tiebreaker, I guess the Ravens would own that. But, you know, you look at the remaining games and the Bengals have a much harder schedule than the Ravens do. I'm still tempted to take them to win the division. Can Huntley do it? And he played well last year, but I don't know. That one's interesting to me. I got my eye on the Bengals.
No, I agree. I think that those odds, I'm looking at it right now, it's at even money right now, but that's still plus money. And I agree with you, especially with Lamar Jackson being out. I love that. You know, the Eagles to me, it's interesting that they're still kind of a dark horse here. And I agree with you in the sense of like the strength of schedule is kind of being factored into this, but they're still a really good team on both sides of the ball. I think they've been maybe a little bit exposed in recent weeks, you know, on the defensive side, but at plus 500, I still feel like that could be worth like a little bit of sprinkle. I already have a ticket, you know, that I did in the beginning of the season for the Bills. So I'm glad that they are coming back together again. Probably a good time to buy with them would have been a couple weeks ago during their kind of downshift. I'm not ready to give up on the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm not going to put any money on that. The 49ers are interesting to me. Now, I know that I am a 49ers fan, and I do already have a ticket on the 49ers, you know, at plus 750 to win the conference. And I really don't think that's too far out. I mean, I'm not firing on them right now, okay? So I'm not going to double down on them to win the Super Bowl plus 900, because to your point, too, like, we don't really know that much about Brock Purdy. I think what we saw from him yesterday was pretty impressive. The kid's got some balls and he doesn't seem to be afraid of anything. You look at when Trey Lance came in or even at times with Jimmy Garoppolo and they look a little bit timid, like they kind of don't. This kid made decisions. You know, he went in there and he threw into some really tight coverage and it paid off a couple times. A couple times he was lucky not to get an interception there, but he was throwing on the run. And, you know, the Niners still have the best defense in the NFL. And that was, if not more evident yesterday against Tua and this, you know, number one offense. Now I do know that they were down two of their O-linemen, so you have to factor that in. But Tua looked a little bit pedestrian, except for two really deep balls. Of course, to start the game, you know, he got that incredible touchdown and he had one more, I believe it was in the fourth quarter, but he was 0-for-7 on third down yesterday. And, you know, he had two interceptions. So I feel like with this Niners defense and with all of the weapons that they have on the offense, you've got Christian McCaffrey, you've got Deebo Samuel, you saw Brock Purdy still get those guys going and they could still score. And Juszczyk had a touchdown yesterday. And, you know, we've got some really crucial first downs from Kittle yesterday. So it's like, all right, are the 49ers a franchise that just need a system quarterback? And is Jimmy Garoppolo just a very good system quarterback? Now, you're not going to catch me saying anything bad about Jimmy Garoppolo. You could see in my Instagram stories last night, I was despondent because, you know, he's my favorite player. I feel like he's been dealt like a really, for lack of a better word, set of cards. And, you know, he was going and he was rocking and rolling. And now he's definitely not going to come back with the 49ers. But, you know, if the 49ers win, you know, next, let's say they beat Tom Brady and the Bucks, right? And then let's say they go and they beat the Seahawks, which I definitely think that they can do. These odds are going to change. And it's going to be like, oh, Brock Purdy, no problem. So if you are interested in the Niners, I don't think it's bad to take them at the plus 900, but it's, it's a gamble.
It definitely feels like the NFC is more open to anyone than the AFC is. So anyone's, you know, any of the powerhouse teams there, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Niners, to me, all have a shot to make it to the Super Bowl. So you're still alive for sure. Katie, if you're willing to stop betting on the 49ers, I think they have a job for you in the front office. Like, you need to either be like their ambassador or something. Like, you should be working for the Niners.
I agree. Like, call me Jed York, please. I need one more job, but I would love to do stuff for the 49ers because, you know, I love them unconditionally, and they affect my mood on a week-to-week basis. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Lions, Tigers, and tailgates. Oh my, the college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich Smoked Sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich Smoked Sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time now for Capper's Corner. Let's take a look at Monday Night Football between the Saints and the Buccaneers. Tom Brady looking to get back on the winning side of things after losing in overtime to the Browns last week, while the Saints are also looking for a bounce back because they were shut out by the 49ers defense. Interesting fact here, the Bucs lead the NFC South with a 5-6 record, currently the fourth seed in the NFC. This is the third time since the divisional realignment in 2002 that every team has a losing record in a single division through week 12. There have been three division winners with a losing record of all time. So basically, the NFC South is what the NFC East used to be, just a sucky division this year. But let's look at this game. Historically, Saints have Tom Brady's number, although he did get the best of them earlier this year. Bucks are favored -195. Spread has been bet down to 3. It was 3.5, I think, just yesterday, over under 40.5. What are you looking full game side here?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at an NFC South division matchup. Normally, we're getting up for this game. We're hyped, right? Bucks versus Saints. And not the case on this Monday night matchup. Like you said, every team in the division has a losing record. And why? It's because their offenses are stuck in the mud. So to that point, let me jump at the under as my first bet of the day here. And I got 41 still. I still see some 41s up on the board on Caesars. And look, first of all, outdoor games that are played in division this season, 25-11 to the under. That's a 69% win rate. So you got to take angles like that. But even more than the trends, I mean, look, the eye test says everything you need to know. Andy Dalton struggles against top passing defenses, and the Buccaneers are, I believe, sixth ranked against the pass. Dalton on prime time is a liability. What is he, 6-20 straight up? He's got eight touchdowns and 9 picks. Like, his passer rating is bad. You know, Alvin Kamara and the run game is usually the ability, and Taysom Hill, right, their dynamic rush offense is the way that they get it going a little bit and open things up. Taysom Hill has been completely neutralized. Everyone knows what's coming when they see him now. Kamara's averaging like a really, really low rush per carry. And I just don't see how the Bucs, who have a terrible rush offense either, go crazy on the Saints. So I don't know where the offense comes from in this game, Katie, simply put. So I'm going to take the under 41. That feels like a pretty safe bet on a Monday night primetime game where both these teams have struggled.
Yeah, I'm riding with you 100% on the under in this one, but I'm also going to take the Tom Brady and the Buccaneers minus the three. I love that it, you know, we lost that hook earlier today. Look, you talked about Andy Dalton, but let me just read these stats for you, Danny. They're just ugly. Boy. He lost seven straight games by 8+ points. His last win, 2018 versus the Ravens. He's 9-17 against the spread in his career. He lost 12 straight on the road. He's lost six straight Monday night football games. He's 2-7 straight up on Monday night. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not putting any money on Andy Dalton. And I did. I didn't put any money on him specifically, but I did take the Saints in the first half and the last Monday night game, or was it a Thursday night game? And I said to myself, never again will I put money on Andy Dalton. And, you know, I'm staying true to my word, and I'm taking the Bucs minus three tonight. And I'm totally riding with you on the under. Is there a prop that you like?
The spread, and just to comment on the spread, it's kind of sketchy. It's tickering between 3.5 down to 3. The bets are on the Bucs. The money is on the Saints. It looks like the sharp action is coming on the Saints. And, you know, when
We've
I see
wrong
stuff
recently
like that,
the sharps.
A little bit, you know, yeah, it goes up and down, right? Public had a bunch of wins. You're right on Sunday. I just can't go with the sharps on this one. I probably will stay away from a side because there's so many contrasting angles, like the sharp action, the market says Saints, but you just rattled off every reason you need to know why I'm not interested in investing in Andy Dalton tonight. He's 5-19 against teams that allow fewer than 20 points per game. I can't back that. So I'll stay away from the spread. I'll look at props and other things.
Why is he getting the start? That's what I want to know. He is not your best option. You could have Taysom Hill, and I honestly don't understand how they keep when you look at those stats, he lost 12 straight on the road. Okay. He's lost seven straight games by 8+ points. Why are you continually giving this guy the start? Maybe they're tanking. They want to get, I don't know. But anyways,
The division's wide open, Katie, though. They're not tanking. They win this game. They're one game away from the Bucs, but I guess it's all they got. Here's an interesting random stat, though. I don't know what stock you can put into this, but you'll enjoy this. Teams after facing the 49ers this season and the following week, 1-9-1 the next game. I guess the Niners leave you with some bruises, maybe.
Ah, just demoralized. I do love that stat. You're gonna have to send that one to me. I actually love that a lot. All right, looking at prop bets here, I guess I'll just start us off on this one. I think it's gonna be a low scoring game. Obviously, we're on the under. And I know that Tom Brady does struggle against the Saints defense, right? That's something that we know. They're 22nd in red zone DVOA and scoring on only half of their tries inside the opponent's 20-yard line. So I think we're going to be kicking a lot of field goals today. So I'm going to take Ryan Suck up over 7.5 kicking points. It's at minus 135. He's been one of the most reliable kickers, actually, this season. He's 23 for 26 in field goal attempts and a perfect 15-15 in extra points in 11 games. And Suck up had 8 points in his previous matchup against New Orleans. So I'm going to do a kicker prop on this one.
He's got 26 attempts. That's so many. That goes to show how often the Bucs are getting stopped in the red zone, to the point you just made about the statistics. Yeah. And I like that. I think that's very sneaky in a game that should be, you know, kind of war in the trenches. Who can just get field position? Who can get close enough to score and cash those opportunities? Suckup's been doing it all season. It's the reason they have 5 wins probably is on the back of field goals. So I kind of like that bet. That's a sneaky one.
Let's go. What else do you like?
I'm going to look for some offense and find one player maybe to have some success. And I think Alvin Kamara can go over 30.5 receiving yards. They use him a lot in the pass game, and I think that's how they're going to have to open things up. Quick hitter stuff, right? Against a good pass defense, Andy Dalton shouldn't be trying deep over the top too much. Juwan Johnson, one of his favorite targets and red zone target, is out for this game. So I think Kamara and the quick passing option is a good choice for him. He typically gets like 6-7 targets a game. So, and they set his receptions line at 3.5 and juiced it way up to like minus 175. So if odds makers feel like he's going to get 4 catches tonight, I think he can get 30 yards on those catches. So give me Kamara to find some offense in this game and go over 30.5 receiving yards.
And he will. He's their only hope. He's like their Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, like it's the only way they're going to be able to score tonight is through him. So I love that a lot. I'm also going to take on the other side of the ball, Cam Jordan to record, actually the same side of the ball, Cam Jordan to record a set or same team. Same team. It's Monday, guys. It's Monday and Jimmy Garoppolo is out. All right. We've been crying all night long. Like, okay, just cut me some slack here. I'm taking Cam Jordan to record a sack at plus 134. Now, this is not available on Caesars. So you kind of shop around for this one. But when you look at what's happening with the O-line and the Bucs, you know, you got Tristan Wirfs, he's out, right? Because he had that ankle injury in their overtime loss to the Browns. And so far this season, he's allowed the lowest pressure rate among NFL tackers, and he has the second highest PFS pass blocking grade. The Bucs are averaging nearly 1 yard fewer per play and have allowed a much higher sack rate and pressure rate. So we've got him out, which means that we're going to have a big time play, I think, from Cam Jordan. He's got 5.5 sacks so far this season for the Saints. And that's really the only sack prop that I could find. I don't know why that's everything's been taken off the board as of this morning, but Cam Jordan to get a sack plus 134. Let's go.
Yeah, you're right. Sack props were pretty limited across. I was looking as well because I had similar feelings. I mean, this is a great point about the game. Tristan Wirfs is one of the most key players we could bring up in this game. I didn't realize how well he graded. I knew he was one of the better offensive linemen on that line, which has been struggling anyway, right, to generate any push to get the run game going. The awful rush offense. But maybe at least Brady's been a little bit better protected as of late. Wirfs is all he had. I mean, that's massive. So that's another point why I like the under. How are you going to get anything going now that this guy goes down? You're already struggling in that category. You like Cam Jordan to run right through the line. I mean, I could see a big play from him in a primetime game. He's all about that life. So I like that play too. And I think it contributes to kind of all the narrative we have going on, all the bets we've mentioned thus far.
Anything else you're looking at for this game?
Yeah, I mean, look, let's play the gift that keeps on giving. Andy Dalton interception. And hey, it hasn't... It hasn't given in the last 2 weeks, and that's why I know he's due for one, because he hasn't gone three games all season without throwing a pick, right? We already mentioned all the primetime stats. He's got more interceptions than touchdowns on primetime. He's even worse on Monday night than he is on Sunday night. And I mentioned, you know, how he does against defenses that don't allow 20 points per game, how he does against top 10 passing defenses. He's played only a few of them this season. And what are they? Let me just rattle them off for you. He played the Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Niners. In those games, he averaged 187.5 pass yards, which would be below his total if you're interested in that prop tonight. He's thrown three touchdowns and three picks. So... I got all the stats I need to know. And the Saints have averaged just 12.3 points per game in those games against top passing offenses. Good luck, Andy. I'm taking you to throw a cookie tonight. Andy Dalton interception.
I love that. And to your point, I like him under on his passing yards as well. And I'm still bitter about him just ruining all of my bets in his last primetime appearance when he threw the two back-to-back interceptions. And by the way, to your point, his last primetime performance, he threw back-to-back interceptions within the final 2 minutes of the first half. You could cash this and then some. I would even potentially look to shop around. And if you could get multiple interceptions on him, maybe you could find an over 1.5. It's worth a sprinkle.
I will save his face for a little bit. The second interception he threw in that game, awful, horrible throw. The first one was off his receiver's hands, and those don't show up in the box score when it's completely your receiver's fault. But hey, Saints gonna Saint sometimes, right? So maybe
let's go. Let's do it. Dalton is always going to Dalton.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so let's talk about some mocks locks. I'm going to go with Chris Godwin for an anytime touchdown score. That's a plus 135. He's basically been the most consistent wide receiver on the team. He has 10 plus targets in 6 of 9 games this season. He's likely going to be matched up with Lattimore, who's, you know, dealing with some injury issues himself. So I kind of feel like Chris Godwin's going to have a big night tonight. I'm going to take him for an anytime touchdown.
And for all the reasons that you're taking the touchdown, I'm taking his over 6.5 receptions. Again, Tristan Wirfs out. We got to get the ball out even quicker than we normally get. Brady's the quickest quarterback to release the ball in the league. His depth of target on average has gone down a lot. And I love that with Godwin in the slot, just the quick hitter slant. So I think he'll get a lot of volume, like you mentioned, the 10 plus targets. I want him to get over 6.5 receptions tonight.
I love that. Easy money. I'm going to ride with you on that one. And then I'm going to do the under, which we already talked about. 6 of the last 7 Tampa Bay games and 4 of the last New Orleans games have been 40 or less. And an interesting stat I saw today, outdoor divisional unders, 25-11-1, hitting at 69% this season. So give me that under 41 as well.
Yeah, last one for me. Let's double down. I'll take the first half under 20.5. Bucks 10-1 to the first half under this season. By far the most profitable. Say less. Give me the first half under 20.5.
Say less. I love it. All right, Danny, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Good luck with all of your bets. You can follow Danny at Brasco Bets, at underscore Brasco Bets. Where's the underscore in your name?
Brasco underscore Bets, but you know, you'll find me, Danny Brasco.
Brasco underscore Bets. All right, this has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Bets. We'll see you Wednesday.